This episode is brought to you by Home Team Inspection Service. When you partner with Home Team, you're getting more than a home inspection. You're delivering the home team experience. With a team approach, fast turnarounds, and package options that include home inspection warranties, Home Team helps real estate pros stand out. Plus, many locations now offer pay at close, giving your clients flexibility when they need it most. Schedule your next inspection with confidence at HomeTeam.com.
The moment you earn $34,000, you earn more than 99% of humans in the world. 8 billion people. So if it's not an income problem, perhaps we need to start evaluating what's happening with our savings. Most Americans save less than 5%. What's happening with our liquidity?
Welcome back to the Color Money Podcast. Today I'm joined by my brother, Mr. Unk himself. Julie and Bo are out traveling the world, teaching, inspiring some others somewhere. And today, so over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking a lot about whole life policies. And so as we were going through this and talking amongst the guests, I was like, I got to go get the expert. I got to go get my buddy David Zapata to come talk about what Factum Financial is, why whole life policies are so important, and so some of the nuts and bolts on how these things work. Now, David is born and raised in Columbia, South Carolina, graduated college from Purdue University, got a master's degree from Cincinnati. And over his 10 years of corporate experience in corporate America, he really wanted to get out of the corporate world and start building his own business that's built around the infinite banking concept. So David's going to talk a lot about what he teaches, what his company does, why these things are so important. And everybody that's listening, this is going to be a bunch of gems. So make sure that you have your pen and your paper ready so David can get to work. Welcome, David. Good to have you, man.
Great to be here. Thank you for the opportunity, brother. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, like I mentioned, we've been talking a lot about this whole infinite banking. I know that's kind of like the popular name with it now.
Yeah.
Whole life policies, term life policies. I've been lucky enough to connect with you and be in the same circle as you for the last couple of years. And so just tell me a little bit about like how we got here.
Yeah.
When you came to the States, how this became your background a little bit, and then how this became the journey that you want to go on.
Yeah. Well, I'll start by, again, thank you for having me. I'll start by telling you, it's not Columbia, North Carolina. It's actually 5,000 miles south in Columbia, South America that I was born. I was born and raised in Bogota, in Barranquilla, Colombia. And I came to the United States with my father and my brother in 2006 after my dad had dreamed about coming to America since 1970. Wow. Took him many, many years. We became citizens in 2014. So a 40 plus year journey for my dad to become an American. And I'm blessed with my brother to have had the opportunity to win the ovarian lottery by naturalization, like Mr. Buffett says.
I haven't heard that one before. The ovarian lottery. I love that. I'm going to start saying that to my children too.
That's what Mr. Buffett calls it. And I agree 100%. So very, very proud to have this background where, you know, 20 years of my life, I come from a place full of life for a color, South America. And then the second portion of my life, I've lived in America with American values and the whole American experience that we live in, entrepreneurship and so on. So I came in 2006. We lived in New York in the Bronx, typical immigrant experience. I walked miles asking for dishwasher jobs through multiple restaurants. I cut chicken heads in delis. I had all kinds of adversities in it was the best thing that could ever happen to me because it set me on a path where like I knew that after hard work and determination, things would happen in my life. And moving forward, I continue my education that I had started. I had started college in Columbia. I had an engineering background. I spent, like you mentioned, 12 years in corporate America in the aerospace industry working for General Electric in their jet engine business. Wonderful experience. Learned a lot. And as an employee, I wanted to figure out how people like you, like many people in the KW space, investors, won the money game because I knew employee being just an employee wasn't going to deliver that for me necessarily. And I got very interested in reading books about real estate. I got very interested in reading books about money and started a journey that, you know, it's taken me for the last 10, 12 years to this point on finding life insurance as one of those assets that unfortunately are very misunderstood. miscategorized and therefore talked about incorrectly. So what I hope to accomplish is this, in this conversation, is to bring you a little bit of our framework to organize, to clarify those ideas. So we can at least be open to educating ourselves about why banks, why corporations, why the wealthy use this asset class so prominently, but in the middle class and in our communities, we think about it incorrectly.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one more thing about me. Unfortunately, when I was 15, my mother passed away from cancer. My mother was 43 years old. My brother was 9. So I've always been very open to this idea traditionally to life insurance because I've experienced firsthand, you know, what it is to lose a parent and not have insurance. And I'll start here because it will inform things that I tell you later about what I think here on the value of it. But my dad, thankfully, was the breadwinner. So we didn't become instantly poor when my mother died. But the effect that this had is my mother died, and the next week by Monday, my dad had to go to work, and I took my brother to school. And three men in the house didn't understand how to have conversations to mourn the loss of their mother.
Yeah,
this is something that is one of the most probably impactful experiences of my life, and it took me 20 years to unravel the effects of this until I became a parent. And I told my wife, I do not want to pass this to my kids, and I need to unfold it, and I need to make it healthier and understand what happened to us. So I'm not suggesting by any means that money replaces any life. There's no money that I wouldn't give to have one day with my mother to introduce her to my kids.
Yeah.
But I understand the value in a lot of families that live today without understanding the importance of that protection to create space or to replace economic resources to continue without them.
Thank you so much for sharing that. I mean, I've known you for a few years. I've never heard that story. And I think that this is why you're so passionate about this, because you lived through what this felt like. I mean, your story gave me the chills because life had to go on and you guys had to adjust, and mom's not taking y'all to school anymore. Like, you step into that role, and not to your point, not that money can fix it, but money can at least give you time and space to breathe, to be with each other and not have to worry about, well, I got to go pay the mortgage. I got to go pay the rent.
And you know, one of the things that I say, and I wholeheartedly agree, one of the things I always say, I said, you know, money is not the most important thing. Mm-hmm. However, next to air is a close second. And if you don't believe me, try living without it.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't fix your issues, but it just sure makes it a little more palpable.
I know, Emmerich, I've heard you talk about your experience in your family and how you grew up with your brother. So I'm sure you relate to a little bit of what I'm
talking
about.
David, do his homework. Watch out, man.
Again, I take these opportunities to connect with people very seriously because this is what actually creates, you know, the kind of conversation our communities need. And this is the real stuff. I agree with you. I do not love money. I love people. I love my two boys and my wife.
Right.
But I do not dismiss the value that money gives me to create the experiences and the resources to have the spaces that I want with them, to give them the opportunities they want. As a matter of fact, every time we start a class, and Daniel has seen this, and people get very thrown off because the first idea we put in front of everyone is the most foundational idea we have in our company. It's called Abundance in Five Areas. And we recognize generally we have a relation spiritually, personally, with our family, with money, and with our occupation. Those five areas, the ideal life is when you express abundance, when you feel that there's more than it's enough for all those these relationships. The only reason we focus professionally on helping people with their relationship with money is because we understand that's what feeds the abundance, that's what funds the abundance on the things you want to do with your kids, on the value you want to bring to your church, etc. So I agree with you wholeheartedly. It's not the most important thing, but brother, we all need it to continue to express our best light.
Yeah, absolutely. I think so. when you think about oftentimes when we're on this wealth building journey, a lot of what I talk about with people is we got to start with insurances because we can go create the revenue, create the empire that we want, but if we're not properly protected, then it's all going to fall apart really, really quickly. And so when you think about, let's break down first, what is the difference between term life insurance versus wholesale life insurance?
I promise you, I didn't pay you to say that. I was just going to start putting a framework to this. So I love that. Let me take one step into what you said first, and let's bring term versus permanent insurance into the conversation. The other idea that we bring early on in our conversation, and you've seen this, Daniel, is how to think about our wealth, how to think about our balance sheet. And there's pieces of them that are foundational, they're protection related, and there are things that are on the top that are acceleration investments, things that are promoting growth. And we tell everyone, I don't care if you're Gary Keller or if you're David Zapata, all of us need a strong foundation, because we do not build a house, we don't build a skyscraper with a small foundation. The foundation needs to properly reflect how high we want to go for it to sustain the weight and to have protection. So things like a proper savings strategy, which is not sexy for most people. I'm here to tell you, savings is very sexy, very important. Having the property insurance so you can transfer risk away from your business, from your family. Having a estate plan, having tax strategies, having a debt management system, a strategy. All these things apply to everyone, whether you make $1 million a year, whether you make $1 million a month, or whether you make $1 million in your lifetime. It does not matter, okay? The second piece of this is, now when you talk about insurances, I love when people bring this conversation, because we actually break insurance into two categories. The PNC, the property and casualty insurance, is everything you need to insure that you own that is a risk outside of yourself. Home insurance, umbrella, car insurance. And then we bring life insurance into a separate bucket, because human capital here is what we need to be thinking about a little different. Every person in your family, in your business, your podcast partners, every one of these people represent a significant amount of human capital and value in your life. And there is an opportunity to say that you want to transfer the risk away of losing a person based on the economic value they represent to your business, to your family. So when we get to life insurance, there are two major categories to make it really simple. There's temporary insurance, what we call term, for a period of time, 10, 20, 30 years. The second is permanent, for the rest of your life. The first thing I want you all, if you hear me say a couple things, this is one of them. Do not allow anyone to tell you what is bad and what is good. That is the wrong way, the wrong frame to think about anything. There's no bad or good. The question that is actually more important is, when is it appropriate for who in what circumstances? Because I can tell you I own both, and they're both very valuable to me. Mm-hmm. So nor bad or good. It's just different roles, different jobs. The other thing that comes in this conversation is, well, people will say, I buy term insurance because the premiums are lower, therefore it's cheaper. I don't buy things like whole life permanent insurance because it's more expensive. And the other point of clarification here is this. Life insurance is perfectly priced for the risk it transfers. If I'm transferring the risk away from Daniel to die in the next 30 years, that premium will reflect that risk for the next 10 years. You are not likely to die in the next 10 years, God willing. So that premium is going to reflect that. If I have to guarantee that an amount of money will be paid when you die, not if you die, permanently for the rest of your life, that premium will reflect that risk. And guess what? All of us have 100% chance of passing. Mm-hmm. It's a very important realization. So, Emmerich, to your point earlier, when I think about the amount of people that I want to educate, I think about two things. I want to find life, people that are alive, right? It's appropriate for them, and people that will need money in the future. That's the two categories that I think about, and I think that encompasses most Americans. Because when I need to transfer that risk away, I want for my boys, for my wives, whether it happens now or at 80 or 100, I want them to have a legacy, and I want them to have protection against my loss. I want that to be a permanent protection. Okay, so that's how we classify this: temporary versus permanent. Not more expensive, no more cheap, is properly priced. And now we need to go deeper into understanding why and when we use which categories depending on your situation. Let me take it one more step, and then we can have more conversation around this. But an important part of this also is, now that we categorize and we define what insurance is, transfer of risk, the loss of human capital, and there's short-term and permanent categories, we have to understand what it is for us to see the value. When we go to whole life, we have this conversation around benefits. You've seen this, Daniel, before. And this is one, when we get into the world of why a lot of, again, wealthy people in the community, investors, the banks, corporations, the top 3% of executives buy this asset class to store money. And I'll tell you, when most people think about life insurance, they think about death insurance. They are buying a death benefit. And that is, of course, the main way to think about it, because it's a protection vehicle. I just can tell you that what separates term from whole life, from permanent insurance, is when we go to the living benefits. That starts to make sense why somebody would be willing to make this coverage permanent in their life. So in the short, in the term insurance, all we're doing is paying a premium. And if you were to pass in that period of time, your family, your beneficiary will receive that death benefit. For a family that's just starting their wealth journey, for a young agent that has young kids, that there's not a lot of cash flow, it's a beautiful tool to protect someone in their family. It's a beautiful tool to have new business partners do a buy and sell agreement where they can protect each other if something were to happen to that business owner. It's a lot of reliability in our businesses. I'll tell you a quick segue, a quick story here to bring some stories to this. But I had a young couple of business owners flipping land across the country. And they had a business valuation of a couple million dollars. And the problem with their business was that if one of them, unfortunately, something happened to them, someone passed, because they were flipping land that wasn't liquid, they would have only a liquidation value of $90,000. And I told them, if something were to happen to either of you, your wife gets $45,000 and you get $45,000 out of a business that's now growing into a couple million dollars. That is risk that most businesses carry across the country every single day. Every single day. So life insurance is a tool that's very valuable to transfer risk away from families and businesses.
Okay, so if I'm understanding correctly, we have the term is basically a lump sum when you pass.
Correct.
To protect your family, to protect your assets, your business, whatever that is.
And if you pass.
If you pass within the time frame that your policy,
correct,
before your policy expires. And then you have this other benefit that is more, and I haven't heard this term before used, but it's living insurance. It's not death insurance, it's living insurance. So how do you, so you borrow against it, you're able to borrow against it. How does the cash flow piece of it work, and why would entrepreneurs or business owners want to use something like that?
Now we go to, okay, why would we buy permanent insurance instead of term insurance, and what are the benefits of taking it that route? So even before talking about borrowing any of that cash flow wise, let's describe what the benefits are. These benefits, by the way, are not David Zapata saying this. This is the banks themselves describing why they buy whole life insurance in their top executives, for example. Mm-hmm. So we talk about 8 benefits in the whole life conversation. Everything in life insurance, when it's permanent whole life insurance, starts with guarantees. Okay. There are 3 main guarantees. This is a private contract. The insurance company is guaranteeing that there will be a guaranteed death benefit when you pass, not if, but when you pass, that the cash values, we'll talk about more what that is in a second, the value inside the contract is going to grow daily over the lifetime of the policy to be equal to the death benefit at the end of the contract at some point in the future, and that the premiums will remain the same for the lifetime of the policy, okay? Just to zoom out in terms of guarantees, I tell people this all the time. Think about everything you own in your balance sheet, businesses, stocks, bonds, treasuries, a mountain in the Swiss mountains full of gold. I don't care what the asset is. Nothing comes with guarantees. So when we talk about certainty and protection to build wealth, when we talk about building a foundation for the skyscraper you're building with your family, guarantees is a really important component of protecting your wealth. Okay, everything starts with guarantees, and then we go and talk about then the other 7 benefits. If you hear me say a second thing, and I promise this might be the most important idea, is this: do not think of life insurance as an investment. If you think about life insurance as an investment, you're going to misunderstand it and miscategorize it, misunderstand it. So the guarantees makes it a part of your balance sheet that is in the foundation in your protection. And then with that, we need to compare it to other liquid and safe assets, checking accounts, high yield savings accounts, treasury bonds, CDs, things like that, not investments. So when you start reviewing the benefits, you'll see the policy also has a second benefit we call constant compounding. Money that goes into the cash values compounds daily, regardless of what's happening to interest rate, taxation, volatility in markets, is growing on a daily basis, giving you true compounding every single day, okay? A third benefit is liquidity. This is a 100% liquid asset, which is very valuable for families and businesses because it allows you to protect your family at the same time that it allows you to take advantage of opportunity. Think about 2008. Everyone would have been better off holding $1 million back because they could have float themselves through uncertainty.
Yeah.
At the same time that they would have been able to love buying a bunch of homes in 2011, right? Cash is powerful from a liquidity perspective. That's benefit number three. If you go to number four, we go to talk about what you were saying, the flexible loan provision. This is when you have a guaranteed line of credit. A guaranteed line of credit. Think about what I'm saying. I don't know how many guaranteed lines of credit people have out there, but I would bet that this is probably one of the only ones available in the marketplace today of an unstructured loan, meaning the flexible loan provision, the ability to borrow against a policy is a guarantee from the contract, and you control how the loan structure, the amortization of the loan. It's a very powerful feature. Think about 2020 when most businesses didn't have liquidity and didn't have access to their lines of credit or had to make payments when they didn't have income. The ability to control how you amortize payments is very powerful for business owners, for families. So we'll talk more about how we use this in real life with real examples in a second. And then the last three benefits is it's private. There's no public record of you owning this. Nobody knows my cash values, how many policies I own. Nobody knows the death benefit or whether I have a loan. It's a very great way to protect wealth. Mm-hmm. And finally, it's growing monthly. It gives you a death benefit like we talked about, and it has a very competitive yield. We'll talk more about it in a second. But to summarize, the beauty of this is that it allows you to have a thoughtful strategy about how to manage your liquidity if you want to use this asset, not just for death insurance, but for the living benefits of it. We tell people that they can set a very thoughtful strategy on managing liquidity. Short term, you go optimize for 2-3 months of expenses in a high yield savings account, treasury, whatever you do. And then in the long term, you can maximize the benefits your money receives by using all these benefits in life insurance while keeping it private, compounding daily, liquid, with guaranteed line of credit, with a death benefit and a competitive yield. So we use this to bring to the communities, to investors, to real estate professionals, let's make saving sexy by introducing a savings environment that incentivizes us to save because it's working hard for us, it's maximizing the benefits of our money, so then we can intentionally go out and invest, okay? So that's the framework we use for this conversation, and a lot of education surrounds around this. So,
Home Team Inspection Service is changing the way agents and clients experience home inspections. Their team-based model, streamlined scheduling, and bundled packages, including home inspection warranties, make the process smoother from contract to closing. And with Pay at Close available in many locations, you can give your buyers more peace of mind with less upfront cost. Choose the team that works with yours. Visit HomeTeam.com to learn more.
When I first started learning about this, and you see the number one line at the very top of their balance sheet is life insurance. And you're like, and I remember looking at it going, why would they carry life insurance? But then when you start understanding all the benefits of these vehicles, you go, oh, that's where they're putting the money. That's where the liquidity comes from. That's not just sitting in a bank account, but it still allows us the flexibility to, if we get into a bind or cash flow gets tight, we can borrow against ourselves and then continue to grow that. I know you didn't use the word asset, but grow that number on the balance sheet significantly. And even when you're trying to qualify for a loan, we're able to use that as assets to be able to qualify because it's liquid funds that we can pull from, which is vastly different than a term life policy that I can't benefit. I mean, for me, it was like, hey, if I die, my kids and my wife get everything, but I can't benefit at all from this the time I'm alive. Like, come on, man, I want to be able to benefit from some of this too. So it was a pivot for me to really understand and then start really gaining the concepts and then now continuing to grow this asset class. Because it's something that's just, it's so unique. It's complex at times. You said a lot of words in the last 5 minutes that were like, what does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? And I think that's the importance of really getting with the professional that knows what they're doing, because when you have the trusted professionals on your team, you can kind of let them guide you into what we need to do that's going to be best. And then we can learn along the way, versus doing all of the research and everything up front and not understanding the ins and outs and real life examples of this. and being able to really to help your family and grow your businesses and invest in your businesses.
The whole idea of, you said professional, because there are a lot of people in the market that sell they sell the products. There could be a question about the professional part. They transfer the products to people, and they're selling them a product with a dream without the background around exactly what the product represents and what's the best use of the product. They only look at it from a tunnel vision perspective of, you can borrow against it, you can do these things. And I don't think a lot of people fully understand exactly what the real benefit is. And I love that you said, that's why I love what you said, Daniel, a professional.
David, there's a lot of companies out there that do this, and some are better than others. Some really lean on just the policies and less on the education. How is Factum different?
You know, this is across industries, right? It's true for the real estate industry. It's true for the insurance industry. There's many people. And by the way, this is something we take as well from the KW Wealth community, from the Keller Williams community in general. It's like, one of the key things in the conversation here is, you see a lot of professionals chasing a transaction. And the key here is that we need to change that in our industry, be advocates for other professionals to start pursuing relationships. I tell people when I start working with all the time, I am not interested in just selling you a pair of shoes. That's not what I do. I want to be part of your wealth team. I want us to have a relationship in 30 years. And success looks like, to me, being in your kitchen 5 years from now, talking to your children about what we started 5 years ago. That is a relationship. So if I can offer a piece of advice for people that are going to go deeper into this conversation, want to talk to professionals, ask them questions about this. How much insurance do you own personally? How are you using your policy? What's your strategy around life insurance? What are the benefits your family and your businesses receive? If somebody can very well articulate that conversation, they're professionals in the field, and they're not just preaching, but doing what they're advising others to do. And to your point, Daniel, and at Factum, you know, we know that this entire process starts with education. There's nothing that I have to sell you, but I have a ton to educate you on so you can form your own thought. I hate being told what to do, so I don't tell anyone what to do. What I help people is think, what is true, what is not, and then you can decide, is this proper for my family, for my business? Does this make sense to me? You know, one of the things that I think is really fascinating, I'll tell you this to put it into context of your industry. When we go to family reunion, we've had the opportunity to go to family reunion in the last couple of years and see Gary from stage and see some of the speakers. You know, it's fascinating to me that one of the things being said out there to 15,000 people, 18,000 people is, hey, you guys are having great GCIs, great incomes, but you're not reflecting that in your savings rate. You're not translating your income into wealth because we're not saving it, we're not holding it, and then we're not investing it properly. And we've diagnosed this at Factum in the following way to try to create some differentiation as well. Americans have incredibly uncommon incomes. You know, the top 50% of households in America makes more than $50,000 a year, right? If you make $150,000, you're at the top 10% of income earners in the country. If you earn more than $500,000, you earn more than 99% of people in this country. And to put that into context with the rest of the world, the moment you earn $34,000, you earn more than 99% of humans in the world. 8 billion people. So again, the Ovarian lottery comment wasn't a joke. This is a blessed country to create abundance, to create opportunity. We all have enjoyed the benefits of that. So if it's not an income problem, perhaps we need to start evaluating what's happening with our savings. Most Americans save less than 5%. What's happening with our liquidity? Most businesses in the country have less than 27 days of liquidity at all times. This is why 2020 was so devastating for so many business owners. And we think that this problem is due to the fact that we don't have exciting savings environments that maximize our benefits, like we were talking about a few minutes ago. So at Factum, we are obsessed at creating education and curriculum to help people think about, okay, what is my intentional strategy around these things? How do I manage my debt? How do I do financial management? I can educate myself, I can educate my family, and then we make decisions empowered by understanding. So that's how we separate ourselves from the community. But again, I am an advocate of our industry. I am an advocate of the real estate industry. I elevate everyone. I speak highly of all my peers. We're just at different stages of the game trying to get better at what we do and serve families.
I like that. And one of the things that I love about this whole idea is that as a collective, we've just got to figure out what's the best direction to provide to future. I'm going to say to future proof our family situation at the time of our demise.
Yeah.
How do we future proof it in advance? So that's why I love these products. And I thought it was really great because I've been a benefactor of a program where I've barred against the policy.
Okay.
I barred against the policy and it helped me tremendously. And I did not bar against the policy to the place where it was detrimental to the policy itself.
But I think that's a good story though, huh? Like let's talk about what you leveraged it for. What did you do with it?
Well, what I did with it was it provided the down payment on my commercial building without affecting my cash position. And it wasn't to the detriment of the policy, whereby I'd taken so much from it, it would make it less valuable to the company mm-hmm. itself. Because what it was is just like I said, we used it as a key person policy. And so we didn't take enough out of it so that it was detrimental to the key person position. Yeah. However, we used it to leverage the down payment, which helped not affect my cash position, which is, it was a tool at that point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let me give you a framework that is helpful in how we help people with this. I love that you shared that story, and I'm really glad that you bring this up, because having a guarantee line of credit is not just a great opportunity and benefit, but a responsibility. So I love that you're saying that out loud for people to hear. If you hear on TikTok and YouTube, oh, whole life is just a thing that you borrow from and you leverage and you just go and 100% leverage. That's a noise conversation. So a thoughtful conversation is, how do I responsibly own and manage this? And we give people this framework. Just like in real estate, people owning the same asset, not all are owning the same asset from the same position. Some people speculate, some people invest, right? It depends on your knowledge, your understanding. So we tell people typically, owners of whole life own whole life in four stages. Before those stages, you have the person that bought whole life insurance or insurance in general without any knowledge or intention. Mm-hmm. They bought a piece of paper, they went to the kitchen, put her in the drawer next to the batteries and the tape, and will not think about it until something happens to their health, right? That's when we start looking through that. Okay. That's how most people actually, regardless of wealth, I have millionaires that have done this. And I tell them, take that piece of paper out of the drawer, read it, and let's start making it more meaningful and significant in your life if you bring it right next to the rest of your financial life. So that first stage, when you start doing that process, we call the saver. If you just want to place a bit of your savings, a little bit of your liquidity in a guarantee asset, you can diversify where you save that money in whole life, like you have other things, high yield savings accounts, other assets, right? It's a great place to store. And if you stay there using the whole life policy for the rest of your life, you're going to experience amazing benefits just by doing that. The next stage from that stage two, we call the wealth builder, which goes to what you're doing, Eric, which is, now that you've realized that it's a great place to store liquidity, you can also have the ability to interact with it by borrowing against it and using it either to make investments or perhaps manage your debt. That's a stage two conversation.
Okay.
With more education and more implementation, you can bring that to stage three, which I heard you say some things there that maybe you're also in there, which is the business banking portion of it. How do I make a business out of my money by protecting, with a Keyman insurance policy, some of my human capital in my business, by lending money, by making my money work in parallel with my business as a business banking tool? I want this to now take more and more of my free cash flows. This is where I store money, and then I deploy it for my business. And then stage four is that conversation you brought up at the beginning, Daniel, which is the infinite banking idea. And this is now a different conversation. This is a conversation about a mindset, a process, where I'm going to take ideas around wanting to be self-reliable, to have interdependence with my family. We teach an idea called family banking. I can tell you, Emmerich, I own policies on my children, my wife, my dad, you know, business partners. So I have a portfolio of policies to protect my business interest and my personal interest, but also because I want to keep more of that money flowing through my family instead of third-party banks, for example. It's a different conversation. And this is a philosophical conversation about how we finance things. Not everyone starts here, just like not every investor starts with a triple net building for their first investment, right?
Right.
We have to start at a place and we progress if we want to through education and implementation.
I want to stay there though, because I think that's a really, really important piece with this infinite banking concept. So one thing that you and I talked about it a little bit, but we're looking at building now. So my children help me build our businesses. They hang flyers. They do stuff with us. And so we pay them through the company, through a staffing yes. company. And now we're having the conversations of moving that money that is getting paid to them rather than it sitting in their bank account, to move that money into a whole life policy. So by the time they're 18 and ready for college and get their first car, any of those other things, they're lending money from themselves versus yes. Ally Financial or whatever other car loan company that we're having.
Right.
And so we can keep the money. They're still going to have a car payment, but they're paying themselves back at a certain return rather than paying the banks or the other companies their certain money. So let's talk a little bit about how do you use that concept? I think that's part of the reason they changed it to infinite banking, to because that definitely sounds a whole lot sexier than savings or whole yeah. life policy. You know what I mean?
Yes, I agree 100%. There's a level of sophistication. Obviously, like buying a commercial property is a lot more interesting to underwrite than maybe the single family residence. So of course, there's a level of sophistication. So let's talk about this. And I will connect it to a point you were making earlier, Emmerich. You mentioned something about how are we prepared to make our families now more reliable, more stronger.
Right.
We teach a curriculum now we call Tough Money. Okay, this is inspired by a CEO summit. We saw Gary talking about toughness and anti-fragility. And in Tough mm-hmm. Money, the premise here is that we cannot control future events. Events being a recession, a disability, an accident, a lawsuit, a death, right?
Right.
Things change in the future. Mm-hmm. We cannot control it. But two kinds of people will come out of an event. People that have weak money, and they will just go down after an event that they're not prepared for, or tough money, people that can thrive through events and actually come on the other side better off than they were before that event. So we teach this concept through just helping people understand a closer relationship with their money, what's their income statement looks like, what's their protection look like, what are the investment strategies. And we have a curriculum, we work through that. And part of this curriculum also is taught in a way where we bring families together. So if 50-year-old father can sit with the 20-year-old sons and a teenager, and the conversation is clear and simple enough, everyone can come together to understand basic principles, whether it's savings, all the way to how do we concentrate the money in our family. This is what we call interdependence. We have a culture in America where we want to create independence quickly. I want my kids to leave at 18, do their own life. I want to be an empty nester. We celebrate that. I can understand that as a Colombian. I want to have my kids be with me until they're 80 years old. I'm a very family-oriented person.
Right.
But the solution for creating that wall with kids and pushing them out is actually to creating the interdependence. I don't want Chase Bank to teach them about money. I want me and my wife to teach them about money, because that will be a conversation about value transfer, not just dollars and cents.
Yeah.
And what you're saying there, I love it. I love that your kiddos are part of your business. I love that they help you build. And I love that they're learning not so much just the money, but how you think, how your business partners think. And they are going to grow in a world where it's going to seem foreign how their peers operate around them. So mm-hmm. it's going to be fascinating. And one of the beautiful things about paying a kid and moving that money into whole life is that, I'll tell you this, my children, when they're 3 weeks old, get a social security number, a passport, and a life insurance policy to the maximum amount they will give me on them. And I am not doing this because there's no money in the world that would replace my voice. It's not a death benefit conversation. I know, God willing, my boys have 80 or 90 years of compounding in front of them, and I want to start that process now. Because the one thing I know they will need, like you said, Emmerich, is money in the future at 20, at 30, at 40, at 50, etc. So I'm trying to set a system where we create a pool of money for them, for the family, and we can come together to then take advantage of opportunity. So the idea, for example, to make it very specific, I have a 3.5-year-old and a 1-year-old, and my 3.5-year-old now has a policy that maybe has $25,000 in cash values, and my 1.5-year-old has, another $5,000-$8,000, whatever the number is. Over time, that money is going to accumulate and they're going to jointly be able to buy their first rental when my oldest boy is six. And they may be able to do a couple loans when they're a little older. By the time they get to 18, not only they're going to have this pool of money, but they're going to think about cash flow different. They're going to think about business differently. They're going to make decisions about going to college intentionally because they've grown around a different conversation that is interdependent in our family. So I love what you're building. This is, again, the idea of family banking. And guess what? Events will come in the future, but also beautiful things will come in the future. What if they can finance their first home through mom and dad? What if they can pay for their wedding by using mom and dad instead of Jamie Dimon? Right?
Right.
It's a way to bring families together about a conversation that sometimes is taboo. So we can, one household at a time, one business at a time, improve society and our relationship with money on a healthy way. Not for the love of money, for the love of people. So we use money appropriately.
That part right there. That part right there, Dave. Because I'm going to tell you, I'm a little bit older than both of you.
Yes, sir.
And this was not a conversation when I was raising my kids. I didn't start having this conversation until my kids were grown. And I was in a position to help my kids purchase their first home. However, had I had this conversation when my kids were like 3 and 5, like your kids' age or Daniel's kids' age, I would have a different conversation with my kids. It would just be a totally different place. So I absolutely love it. And I've been advocating to people, you know, they take a look at what policy can they get on their children as young as possible, because you start the compounding interest conversation early. And points we don't think about it. And I believe that, like, a lot of times in our community, what we really have to get out of the thing, we have to stop thinking about death as morbid. The life insurance policy is not about death. It's about living life a different way. Hmm. And so many times when we use that idea of just life and policy, life policy, it means death. Life policy means life. Life policy means, how do I help you and everybody else live better and have a better life? Now, of course, we can't get out of life alive, and that's a reality. However, how are we going to use this financial system that we have at our disposal the same way that other communities have used it? We just didn't know about it.
I'm so grateful that you brought that comment, too, because that is a part of the conversation that I think is really important we talk about when people think about, oh, estate planning is morbid or life insurance is morbid. And I'm very respectful of this because we all have different relationship to death, different experiences, different perspectives, right?
Right.
And I don't pretend to hold the truth. I have my own experience with my mother. It made me very acute that I needed to live every day. My mother died at 43, man. Like, she didn't get enough time in this world. And I am just grateful to have that perspective because every day I wake up, I'm very intentional about who I spend time with, how I love my kids. I tell them I love them. I kiss my wife. I don't know when that day is coming for me, so I live more intensely. Right. I tell people, one of the blessings that I see in a lot of families that I work with is when you organize your world about protecting against future events, including death, you get to transfer that away and you know that you have order in that part of your life and you get more space to think about today, here, us, the three of us. Yeah. I am nowhere else than in this conversation with the two of you, because God is blessing me with this opportunity to be right here, right now. So all my light is going here. I'm not thinking about what would happen to my wife and kids if I get hit on my way home. Mm-hmm. I've taken care of that. So I respect, again, people's relationship to it, but do not dismiss the value of putting some things in your life to order and create protection that will open up space for you to be more of you in the other places that are present in your life.
Ooh, ooh, that was a mouthful right there. I'm like, ooh, you gave me the chills with that one, bro.
Now, David, as we're getting ready to wrap up, let's talk about that last piece of it. With the infinite banking, what we didn't discuss is we borrow from ourselves. What do we borrow from ourselves with? What does that payment look like? What's happening with the money that's still inside of the policy? Like, let's go a little bit on that actual concept.
Perfect.
The next goal, the next business that we're going to be building is a hard money lending business using our whole life policies because of the arbitrage between the difference of what we're borrowing and what we're charging. So let's talk about that a little bit.
Love it. I think that that is a wonderful business in this current economic time, by the way. So congratulations on launching that.
Well, I still need to build it. I still need to get more cash and fund it
well,
first.
the result that, you know, begins with the pursuit and the idea. So bless you, my friend. Best of luck. But I'll tell you this, you know, the other way to organize this, and I'm, with your permission, I'm going to change slightly some of the things you say to bring clarity and people think about this properly. So I put whole life in your liquidity strategy right next to your investments, whether you're acquiring property, whether you're doing Harmony loans, whether you're running a business with widgets and employees, doesn't matter. But whole life is what funds what needs to be funded inside the business by using the life insurance cash values as collateral. So when you say borrow from yourself, I would actually say borrow against your policy.
Okay.
The beauty of this asset, if you compare it to any other liquid and safe asset, is if I use a high yield savings account to run a hard money loan business, the moment I take the money out of the high yield savings account, the yield stops and then the money goes into the loan. When I borrow against my policies, number one is private, protected, all the benefits I told you about. I borrow that money against, I'm borrowing the insurance company money while the policy cash values grow every day, whether I have that loan out or not. It's tax advantage, by the way. That growth is happening on a tax-deferred basis. It's completely private. Nobody knows I have this money. I take the loan from the insurance company, and that's the money I use to go and take a 12% hard money loan somewhere. Okay. If I'm going to borrow against the insurance company, I'm going to pay the insurance company a percentage interest for that loan because I'm using their money. Makes sense. They would have bought a corporate bond or something else, so I need to replace that yield. If I borrow money at 5%.
What is that percentage usually?
Somewhere around 4 to 6%. Yeah.
Perfect.
And for the companies we use, we work with One America as our preferred partner. They are going to use corporate bond rate, average corporate bond rate from Moody's to calculate that. That's what they earn. What they're earning in their investment portfolio is what they're going to charge me because I'm the investment now.
Right.
So I'm happily going to take it that loan. That loan is unstructured. Do not get caught on the 5%. Remember, I can decide whether I do a repayment 10 years from now or tomorrow, or I control the entire amortization. So it's not just 5%. It's the control that I have on that loan. I go make that loan at 12%. When that loan is repaid, what happens is the following. I take the principal on the 5%, repay the insurance company, and the spread, that 7%, that difference, hopefully you understand the value of whole life, goes back into my policy in the form of premium so I can keep growing the pot of money. This is how we use effectively that flexible loan provision to fund anything in terms of what you're doing with your business, assets that will create a difference between what it costs me to borrow the money and the spread that I create by creating an investment. This, when you run the numbers, and we have some resources if your audience is ever interested in that, on how to compare running a Harmony loan business from a checking account to a whole life policy, creates this whole life policy will create results over time that are extraordinary.
It's extraordinary.
At the same time, you have protection. And by the way, if you stop the Harmony loan business 10 years from now, guess what? Your policy in year 11 keeps rock and rolling, growing year after year after year. So effectively, what we're doing is running two businesses at the same time. The banking business, where I store money and I control the flow of money, and a Harmony loan business when I lend money. Very powerful strategy. A lot of education required to get there, by the way. But
it is.
But it's an education-based conversation, so you understand how to use this effectively and appropriately.
I think for a lot of our listeners, don't get ready to get ready. Like, just go start learning and growing and doing and evaluating and understanding, because by the time you think you're ready, it's going to be too late and you've wasted way too much time.
Yeah,
and I love that. And I'm just sitting here, David, and my hair is blown back. let me show you my hair.
Blown all the way off, huh?
I took the right guess then.
My hair is blown back. So, you know, thank you so much. And I'm eager to learn more myself. So how if one wanted to get in touch with you, how do we connect with you?
I would love to offer some resources. I'm sure that we'll be able to put some resources in the show notes. So I'm going to send you all a couple of educational resources completely for free for your community to have access. I think our communities need more access to information of what wealthy people are doing.
Okay.
So our families can grow. If you want to get in touch with me, davidzapata@factumfinancial.com. I'll share my contact information, of course, for the show notes as well. But you know, we are very passionate about educating people. We go all over the country to different market centers, and we stream a class once a month to multiple market centers around the country. We are a family reunion. We will be there at Mega Agent Camp. So we are very grateful to be part of your community. And, you know, I can tell you, we have an incredible suite of resources that most people would benefit to just understand, is this something that I want for my family, for my business?
I'm also going to come to San Diego. This is the thought I have, right? I could work with you and just start these policies for my kids, but yes. I want to go the next step. I want to take my kids to meet you. Let's sit Absolutely. In the conference room. Let's whiteboard some things, because the knowledge is, to me, more important than the policy, because yeah. I can leave my kids money, but unless they're going to make that money grow, it's been a complete waste.
I'll leave you with this thought. I tell every parent that I work with their family, I am not preparing my kids for money. Excuse me, I'm not preparing money for my kids. I'm preparing my kids for money.
Yeah.
That sounds similar, but it's drastically different.
So different.
What Absolutely. In my mind is happening is my children will become the trustees of the blessings God has provided us to be the creators of opportunity for the next generation. That is not a dollars and cents conversation. That is a value transfer conversation.
No. Now, David, as we wrap up, what is the one thing you'd want to leave with our listeners?
Consider that the best time to educate yourself about to have more tough money, more reliability in your family is now. The process starts with education. Education is everywhere. If you want some of the top education in the country, I'd be happy to share with you. But educate yourself about some ideas. Become aware of where you are. Some of the things we talk about a lot is just your income is not the full picture. You need to understand where you are with respect mm-hmm. to your relationship with money. I do not expect to send my kids to boarding school in Europe and have a great relationship with them 18 years later. I don't do that with my money either. It's a full contact yeah. sport. Become educated, become aware, strengthen your savings, and then grow from there.
I love that. That's great. Thank you so much for all this information.
Gentlemen, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure. And whenever you call, the answer will be, I'll be there.
No, 100%. Thank you so much, sir. Until next time, friends, Color Money Podcast. We'll talk to you soon.
Follow the Color of Money podcast today and get notified when new episodes are released weekly.
Be part of this transformative listening experience.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not Keller Williams Realty LLC and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information.